And that majestic masterpiece theater theme means it's time for History Matters, This Week in History with the one, the only Mr. Scott Washington. How are you?
Very good, Aaron. You know, when I hear that reassuring theme, I know everything's going to be okay.
Everything is going to be okay. Yeah. Maybe not right this second.
That's right.
But eventually.
In the great scheme of things, that's right.
I'm talking about the Paris Climate Accords and Trump's decision to pull out of it. And he made this promise on the campaign trail, and oh man, he's keeping his promise. Isn't that great? It was a crap promise. He shouldn't be keeping it. Like,
that's right.
I understand the fact that he's keeping his promise. It's like a positive. It's like, no, the fact that he's keeping his promise is a bad thing.
Well, this
is, if it's a bad promise, one should not keep
it. Well, and as we've discussed too, sometimes the history as we know it, sometimes people stand as an inspiration, and sometimes they stand as an example.
Yes.
And at least we can say Europe is taking a long look at what's happened here and saying, well, we don't want to follow that example.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more sane heads, and I hope that continues. Yeah. And I know there are a lot of people.
And the one thing that is true, and this is something that people, and we had the person from the Sierra Club that was on CBS mm-hmm. earlier, and others have made the same exact point, is that the market is moving towards clean energy
yes.
anyway. Like, what Trump is doing today is not bringing the coal industry back, because
no.
we've already kind of moved beyond that.
That's
in
right.
terms of energy. So
well, I saw a coal company was interested in doing hiring a coal
right,
to,
right, yeah.
build solar.
I mean, honestly, what we should be doing, we're talking about history here, and some of the things that we're going to be talking about are sort of advances in technology
yes.
this week. When Edison invents the electric light, you don't push that industry down and suppress
no.
it in order to protect the candle industry. When
That's
the
right.
when the car comes out, when Henry Ford builds his first car, which he did this week
That's
in
right.
history, 1898, you don't suppress that in order to protect the horse and buggy industry.
That's right.
And for those regions, and the problem with the coal industry is that
right.
it's centered on particular regions of the country. So West Virginia, Trump mentioned
right.
Pittsburgh, of course. That region of the country in particular is really hit hard by the
yeah.
coal industry. But you don't save those regions by protecting an industry that is
no.
already going to die regardless. You save that industry, you save that region by saying, okay, what's next?
Well, and history is so much about reinventing.
Yes.
Take a look at the tobacco industry in Durham. And what did Durham do? They reinvented
mm-hmm.
themselves. And all those tobacco warehouses
That's
are now apartments
yep.
and thriving commercial districts. So
yeah.
it just
commercial
shows you that,
art, tech,
that's
like
right.
all of these new
oh.
industries and new things.
And
yeah.
look at mills.
Yep.
There are a lot of mills, and people are thinking, what are we going to do? And people came in and took a new look and said, oh, my gosh, how would we look at Durham with a the tobacco campus, American Tobacco Campus, you know, gorgeous.
Yeah.
And that has nothing to do with tobacco at all now.
Yeah.
But it did at one time. So, yes, there is something
that's
to be
a really
said
good
for
point.
Moving forward. And that's what history is about. And that's yeah. what this week is about.
So too. What happened this week in history?
Oh, my gosh. What didn't happen this week? That's what I've got to say. Oh, my God. You know,
and that's it. We're done. Good night, everyone.
Well, here is one. And this was on Monday, May 29th, but it was in 1664. Now, I did not know this. Settlers from Barbados under John Vassal disembarked on the Cape Fear River, and they established a settlement on its west bank. Now, this is before anything else that comes later with Sir Walter Raleigh, which
mm-hmm.
I just find fascinating. And then there is some, because at that point, Carolina was this large swath of land that included what we now call North and South Carolina, and some
mm-hmm.
wanted it further south. Eventually, that group does resettle, and they become, of course, a Charleston, as we know it, in South Carolina. That's
yes.
where that's the roots of
yeah.
that. But that originally had its roots here in North Carolina.
Oh, interesting.
Which is another, and now.
So all the cool stuff in Charleston right now, we can claim for us, is that?
Well, yes, I think we could probably say yes. We had it first, or this was the right place to start anyway.
All right, good.
Good ideas come here. Another one, a big one, is on May 31st. May 31st, 1775, is when people in Mecklenburg County, out near Charlotte, are the ones who, responding to the news of Lexington and Concord, come up with 20 patriotic resolutions. Now, these are sometimes called the Mecklenburg Declaration, or you'll hear them referred to MECDECs.
Yes.
But the date on this was in great controversy, because there were some that believed after the Revolutionary War, they said, oh, it was May 20th. And that stuck. In fact, that is actually on the flag of North Carolina.
Right.
But Later historians have determined that actually May 31st is the date when that group met and they came up with those, and that was published too. There was a lot of doubt about, because the group that was advocating for this said no, the Declaration of Independence was influenced by this first. Well, these thoughts were in the colonies as a whole, but it shows that certainly people here in North Carolina were very much active involved.
They were 20 patriotic resolutions. They were actually 20 treasonous resolutions at the time, right? They didn't become patriotic until later.
It all depends on your perspective on things. Luckily, our side prevailed.
It's really about which adjective you try to affix to this.
That's why I like the theme for Masterpiece Theater. This one.
Oh, yeah,
Alistair Cook would have said about that. But
just picture Jonathan Groff as King George going, you'll be back.
But sometimes things get, you know, lost, and then we re-find them again. There was a show on TV that debuted in 1951 on May 30th called Down You Go.
Down You Go.
A version of Hangman that was around for 5 years, but there's very little footage of it left.
Yeah, tell me about this, because I'm reading, Scott sends a book of notes every week, and I'm flipping through them and reading them, and it's like, I've never heard of this TV show before, but it was a big deal.
It was a very big deal, and apparently audience members viewing on it could send in suggestions, and like Hangman, you could try to guess a letter, and if you didn't, then didn't get the right letter, the host would say, well, down you go, and the next person would go on down until they got to the end. And
if that show were back on today, it'd say down you go and press a button and a trap door would open and you'd fall down onto a mat below and
be much more exciting. Well, maybe they'll bring it back.
Confetti would fly up in the air and there'd be these blinking lights.
Kind of a Saturday Night Live version of that, I think, would make sense. But that just shows you that sometimes something that was very popular was on the air for 5 years and yet there's almost no memory of this collectively until somebody dug up this obscure fact. It was a half-hour show, and it was on the
air.
That's
fascinating.
And it influenced Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Which
like
I found.
Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, and like all these game
amazing,
shows. Yeah.
To think about that.
Yeah.
There are a couple other things on June 2nd. I should mention, I think that this is a kind of an important thing, that this is our sixth month. We're beginning our sixth month of doing this, which is really exciting. We're making history entertaining and fun and interesting.
6 months from now, we're gonna come in. It's like this week in history, this week in history matters.
Back in the day, remember?
I can't remember
it. Well, here's one. This is kind of cool. On June 2nd, 1875, Alexander Graham Bell discovered the principle of sending sound by wire. He transmitted the sound of a twanging clock spring.
All right.
And I'm sure people said, I don't see what the use of that is.
I mean, that's better than most of what's on TV now, so.
But, you know, that also June 2nd is kind of notable because in 1774, that's when Britain passes the Intolerable Acts or the Quartering Acts, which allows a governor in colonial America to house British soldiers in uninhabited houses, outhouses, barns, or other buildings if suitable quarters are not provided. Now, of course, that uninhabited part becomes basically, you're living here? You have to get
out.
Now it's uninhabited.
Now it's uninhabited, yeah.
And, of course, this leads to the Third Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which addressed that no soldier shall in a time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner be prescribed by law. Yeah. So that's important stuff to say, yes, that affects how those amendments to the Constitution were addressing specific abuses of power that people had witnessed in the
And this
lifetime.
Is another thing that kind of gets lost in all of the hubbub of that period of history, too, that particular act was so egregious that 15 years later, many states ratify the Constitution and say, no, but we definitely need this to be included in to respond specifically to this particular
this
act
will never
15
happen
years
again.
Ago.
They all remembered it.
Yeah.
The June 2nd seems to be a big day. 1835 is when P.T. Barnum and his circus starts their first tour of the United States. Mm. And, you know, this year is when they're marking the end of that circus going around the
United
States.
Wasn't Ringling born this week, I think, as well?
Yeah, I think maybe.
Wednesday, May 31st, John Ringling was born.
Well, there you go.
Of Ringling Brothers fame.
No, I think not. Just shows you we get so excited about history, like, oh my gosh, look, there's a connection here.
Yeah.
And also Queen Elizabeth, those who, you know, enjoy their Masterpiece Theater theme, Queen Elizabeth was had her coronation in 1953, and here, 64 years later, she's still queen. I mean, that's kind of a remarkable legacy.
Is it now the record? It is the record, isn't it? She passed Queen Victoria.
I think so. Which is just incredible.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
June 2nd, 1935.
Poor Charles is still sitting there like, come on.
No, that's terrible, Aaron, I'm sure.
Abdicate. Do something. Go retire.
He's learning. He's still in the learning curve.
That's true, yeah.
June 2nd, 1935, Duke Chapel was dedicated. It wasn't quite finished.
Yes.
But it was, of course, the interesting story, and I think most people in this area probably know this, Julian Abel, a prominent African-American architect from Philadelphia, designed much of that at a time when segregation was the norm, and he wouldn't have been allowed to go to Duke as a student. Mm-hmm. Where there's a kind of an irony, but a great building and has a soaring history ever since.
And designed not just the chapel, but much of that campus.
Right. Which is really phenomenal.
Gorgeous campus, too.
So history is not just about destruction, which we think about, of wars.
Yeah.
It's about creativity, too.
Absolutely.
And about these unusual people that step to the fore and who we are in their debt.
And there's a couple of people who sort of reach those achievements in history. I know June 3rd, which is Saturday, 1916 is the day when Mary Edwards Walker's Medal of Honor is revoked, but it gets restored later, and this is a really fascinating story that I had never heard before.
Well, that was fascinating. This woman, Mary Edwards Walker, this may not be a familiar name to you. She was a doctor at a time when female physicians were rare, during the Civil War, she volunteered her services. She was turned down, but then she volunteers as surgeon, which was a much more gruesome and hard thing to do. And they said, we need anybody who has your kind of experience. And she was trained as a doctor.
Yeah.
She gets captured and then by the Confederates, but she's eventually given a commission as acting assistant surgeon, the first female physician in the U.S. Army. After the war, President Andrew Johnson signs a bill awarding her the Medal of Honor. And then in 1917, Congress changed the criteria and wanted the Medal of Honor only to be for those who were engaged in actual combat, and so asked for them back.
Yeah.
But she said no.
Good for her.
And, you know, and she died in 1919, but 58 years later, President Jimmy Carter reinstated that Medal of Honor, recognizing, quote, her distinguished gallantry, self-sacrifice, patriotism, dedication, and unflinching loyalty to her country, despite the apparent discrimination because of her gender.
I appreciate, in 1917, okay, Congress changes the criteria for awarding the medal. You have to have engaged in enemy combat. Okay, that's fine. You know, you decide what the...
In the middle of the First World War.
Right. They asked for them back. What did they write to people and say, hey, that's, you know, that Medal of Honor we gave you, we'd like that returned to it. They couldn't have grandfathered them in and let them keep the medals.
That Academy Award we gave you, Meryl Streep, we'd like it
we'd
back.
We'd like it back,
We decided to change the category.
Well, she's fine. She's got two other ones. It's all good, but still.
But then really, on a serious note, that is really something that I agree with you.
And it wasn't just her. It was hundreds of people.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But she still remains the only woman who has ever received the Medal of Honor. Which is just kind of remarkable.
That's significant,
It is. It is.
And it wasn't a mistake. I mean, it wasn't La La Land. It was someone who actually earned the Medal of Honor,
right? Yes, exactly. Well, you know, speaking of people make a difference, another one is a former FBI official, Mark Felt. Wednesday, May 31st, 2005, he broke a silence of 30 years to come step forward as Deep Throat.
Deep Throat,
the secret Washington Post source. And, you know, there is something to be said for leaks that help really protect our country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily the worst thing, but it is something that we are in his debt for exposing what was corruption at that time.
Absolutely.
And illegal acts.
Absolutely. Speaking with Scott Washington, History Matters. We've got a lot of other things that we're not going to be able to get to, so I'll let you wrap it up. What's your favorite item from this week that we haven't gotten to
yet? Well, there is one that is probably, everybody says, oh yeah, history. Well, if you go into your grocery store and you get Lay potato chips, well, guess what? Herman Lay was an actual guy who was born in Charlotte on June 3rd, 1909, and he was an entrepreneur and sold Pepsis to spectators, and then he got a job in a factory with He didn't think he was going to do much with potato chips, but he did. And, of course, it grew and expanded. And finally, he was the one who led Lay's to merge with Fritos. And the Frito company merged with Pepsi and became the mega corporation PepsiCo. Hmm. So anytime you're in the story going, oh, history doesn't matter, well, then put down that Pepsi, put down those Fritos, and put down those potato chips.
Because and put down pretty much everything else, right, because there's a history. Do you know the story of potato chips, how they got invented, the crazy story of it?
No,
not Lay's. I'm 99% sure that this is real. There's a chance that this is just an urban legend, but apparently it originated at a hotel where someone walked in and ordered French fries, and the waiter brings them out, and he says they're too thick. Take them back and remake them. So they take them back and remake them, and they come back and like, oh, they're still too thick. And at this point, the cook back in the kitchen is busy and now mad because this jerk of a customer keeps sending back French fries saying they're too thick. It's like, all right, fine. I will take a slice of potato, slice it as thin as humanly possible, salt it up as much as I possibly can, and just deep fry the bejesus out of it. Serves it to him, and he loved it so much he kept coming back and ordering them again and again, and then it caught on, and those were potato chips.
And there you go.
So goes the story. I don't know how true it is,
and
but
you know,
that's,
I think
it's a story that should be true if it's not.
Albert Einstein said something, if at first the idea is not ridiculous, there is no hope for it, and that's true with so many good things like potato chips. So,
all right, Scott Washington, this week in history. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron, as always.